Good morning to those that are joining us for the first time. The Lord has given me a word today, and it will be done in three parts. This morning there'll be two, and this evening will be one. And it's the story of Esther. And many may have felt that they have heard that word many times preached. I know I have. And I know that I believe that God wants to take us into the heart of this story because it's your story and my story. And it's the call in our lives. And it's why we've gathered this weekend. You see, the Lord wants to give women, not any women, Esther's spiritual authority. And in that spiritual authority, that he wants to save a nation through praying women, through Esther's, and have them rewrite the laws. Because that is what that was Esther's life. And her life is our life. The Holy Spirit, that's not a made-up story. That was a true story. It was a story of God's design, that all through the ages we may look back on that and see that is God's heart. That's not a made-up story. That is God's heart and God's design. For women to have spiritual authority. You know, Esther was called a queen. That means somebody married to a king. So that would be us. Esther is not for an elite group. Esther is not for the superstars. Esther is not for the women who have it all together or deep spiritual understanding. If you are married to the king, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and he is king and we are his bride, then we are being called into her life. But we need an understanding, a biblical understanding of this woman so that her life can be laid on our life. And the same promises made to her are our promises. And the same life she lived, we can be called to live it. As women, not on a public stage, but women to a large extent like you and I who live hidden lives, yet that does not change the call. It does not change the fact because we are having somewhat hidden life. That doesn't mean God does not want to give us spiritual authority, does not want to make something so significant with our lives, for we are loved and called, we are queen. And at the end result, it's not that she comes out of a beauty parlor or a spiritual beauty parlor, but at the end, that she is given a God place to actually rule and reign in the sense we're going to hear how she does it, that it can apply to your life and mine in the kitchen or in our child's bedroom, in walking along the side holding a grandchild's hand. I tell you, the life of Esther is for us. And we want the Holy Spirit to open up this word that we may really see what that means for a hidden life and a day-to-day life. This evening I want to talk about what does it mean to rewrite the laws? What does that mean? Because that's our privilege as Esther. What does it mean to rewrite the laws? Because there are some laws and some few will help rewrite a physical law. But there is a law that must be written, that you must write, and I must write. And we must know what that is. We must know what that law is that must be written. And that it's the privilege of Esther's to write. So we'll look at that tonight. But we're going to start in chapter 1 of Esther. Your book might, like mine does, flop open at that book. Esther chapter 1. Probably one of the most famous verses in all the Bible is Esther 4 that says, "Who knows, but thou art come or called to the kingdom for such a time as this." As women, we might have had that quoted to us. We might have said it to ourselves. We might have heard it in a women's conference, probably more than any other verse. And there's something every time we hear it There's still something of a thrill to it. There's still something and it's a power to move us. In Esther's time, you know, when she was called for such a time, there was a never a wickeder time or a more evil time than she was called in the whole life of her nation, of her people. And that might be very well said for this nation also, that the dark days that are coming upon us, it seems that Esther's are bidden to arise in the darkest of times. Now, the interesting thing about Esther in Esther's day was there actually was a queen on the throne, and her name was Vashti. And I want to say to you that at a time of God's calling and choosing, in a very dark time, there were two queens. There was a visible queen, Vashti, and there was a hidden queen being prepared. And I want to suggest to you that in a believer's heart, that Vashti and Esther live in the same heart. Vashti and Esther live in the same heart. And one queen has to go so the other can arise. The primary thing about Vashti is she did not understand the time she lived in. And though God had raised her to great heights, and there was an honor given her, and I want you to think now of a believer. We've been honored by the Lord. He has called us. He has saved us. He has called us. And we have been risen in the spiritual. In all the face of the earth, there is none such as those that are saved, who have a relationship with God himself. Does that ever overwhelm you and I? That of all the people on the face of the earth, he has chosen us. We did not choose him. He loved us first. We didn't. He's not responding to our love. He initiated the love. And there's not such a people on the face of the earth as those that know the Lord. In every nation, every tribe, every kindred, there is a people that God has come to. And he has revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, through my son, I offer you a forgiven life. And then I offer you a new life. I offer you a new heart, a new spirit, not of this world. And as you are fashioned by this spirit, you will walk differently. You will be set apart. You will be people of light. You will be people of the ability to forgive. You will be a people of an ability to know spiritual secrets, that I can share my heart with you. For we have been born to satisfy the longings of the Lord's heart. That is for fellowship. It is an awesome privilege. There is no people like saved people on the whole face of the earth. And here's Vashti, and she's been risen to this prominence like the church, but she is a person that she has no understanding of the place she occupies, no spiritual understanding of what really is hers, and she lived a squandered life. When it's all said and done, that's what that woman did. She lived a squandered life. Called to a prominence, called to a place where her influence and her voice could have meant something, but it did not. Now, we know the story that she was told to put on your crown and your robes, and the seven chamberlains came, and she was bidden by the king to come in to the presence in a feast. And you know, if you read the story, it says that there was a feast and that the king had, but then a second feast was after the first feast. A second feast was called, and this is the one Vashti was bidden to. It was sort of like a thank you party for all the palace people, all the family of the palace, if you would, were gathering for a second feast. I think it was like the king was having a thank you party for all the hard work it cost to put on the first feast. And it's to that feast she is bidden. And when the word comes that she's to put on her robe and her crown, you know the story, in verse 9, she absolutely refuses to come. Now, it tells us in verse 9 that Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And she's in this place, and she herself is feasting. And the Bible says in verse 8 that the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. So this was not, as I've heard it preached many times, it's a drunkenly, disorderly party that she is being asked to visit, which the word does not agree with that. But the scripture says that the queen in verse 12 refused to come at the king's commandment to be by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Now, I have to ask, and we have to ask, Lord, the two queens in my heart, Vashti and Esther can't arise till Vashti goes. You can't crown, you cannot use Vashti. This is going to be a woman who will refuse you, will refuse your ways and refuse your bidding. This woman must go. And the Vashti in our hearts need to be recognized, and she must go. And whenever we're dealing with spiritual forces, can I say, they can get very subtle and very wise, if I may use that term, whenever the gospel comes around spirits like this, and it can get very wise and almost sneaky. And I wanted to say, why would Vashti refuse to come? And the scripture answers that question. Why did this woman, when a legitimate, honorable, rightful authority, her husband, asked her to come, why would she refuse, knowing it would bring him great disgrace? Why would she just give him a flat-out no? And she did it, I want to put to you, when she was feasting with the women, and when the call came, and she said no, was it in her heart, nothing she'd ever speak about, of course, but in her heart, did she want to choose the time and the place and how she served? Did she want to really shape all those events, how she appeared? Would she only serve? Would she only come when it was to her advantage? Would she only appear when it was at her choosing? Did she feel it was beneath her to come at his bidding? Did she feel that she's offended? She didn't want to appear at his bidding. She is not rightly regarding where she is in the kingdom. She's been brought to such honor, but did the honor turn her head? See, beloved, God wants to, in giving women spiritual authority, issues of authority have to be dealt with. Because we cannot be in authority if we are not under authority. Otherwise, we will be loose cannons on a deck. We will be very right in our own sight. And we will become unusable because of it. And there is a legitimate authority over our lives that we need not fear. There is a legitimate authority in the Word. God places people in the body that as leaders, as pastors, as people that it's obvious God has called them. And we need not fear if we are asked to serve, if we are called or bidden, that we know we are in a place that our legitimate, honoring, rightful authority over us is asking us to do something, we may not give a very fast and light no. We need to be women who said, now that doesn't mean it's an automatic yes. Please hear me, because I know women are overburdened, but we're not discussing this right now. We're talking about something very deep. We're talking about women that God wants to use and give spiritual authority in the last days, that our prayers march right to the gates of hell, and at our command, at our seeing, prisoners are released. Because we're going to see in the life of Esther, that's exactly what happened. But we can't skip over the parts we don't like. We have to take the word in all its light and apply it to us. Did this woman refuse, did Queen Vashti refuse to go because she felt it was beneath her? She was offended at the role that she was playing at that moment. How ironic, because she had an exalted role, but was it beneath her? Number two, she was feasting with other women. She's in the midst of her own feast. She's in the midst. She's the queen bee. She's the center of it all, isn't she? They've come at her bidding. Interesting, they'll follow her, but she won't be a follower. And she's got these women around her, and they are feasting. And the word comes right in the middle of it that she is to leave them and go to the king. And it's very interesting because God orchestrates the events of our life, doesn't he? Don't think that certain things come to you at an inconvenient time. No, they are coming right in the timing of God to many times to show our heart. Many times in answer to prayers we pray. Many times, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be poured out for your kingdom. Well, the Lord says, it shall be done. But there's this matter of a Vashti corner in your heart that I've got a call for you to be Esther, but two queens don't reign at the same time. And so events come, and right at the time, how awkward for Vashti, who is trying to, this court of women, you know, that she has bidden, and she is the queen bee, and all of a sudden she herself is called in the midst of something. She's going to get dethroned a little bit. She's not the entire leader anymore. And I could see, you know, in this situation where this woman with a view of herself, and all of a sudden the others hear she's being called. She's to put her crown on and her robes and she's to go. And I can hear the other women, you know, like they know Vashti. And they know she's not going to like this. And you can see, you know, them kind of giving each other the eye and like this, you know. Beloved, are you and I held captive by the opinions of others? Is what they think, especially in the pressure of our own heart being revealed at a certain time, is what they think become higher than the word or the commandment to go? Is what they think and feel, is it? And it's fueling what's going on in our own hearts about not wanting to come under authority, not wanting to listen. Sometimes in this feasting of women, can we be honest? I mean, it's just us here. There's just too much talk in these circles. Just too much talk. Sometimes we can talk ourselves out of faith. We can talk ourselves into behind a wall of positions we now have to fight to maintain. Too much talk, too quick to judge, too much talk. We've all been the victim of that. And yet, this is all part of Vashti being exposed, that she may be dethroned. This is all good news to us, as the word presents this woman to us. I was wondering, you know, was Vashti a woman also very self-focused? Was she finally in a very comfortable place that she did not want to be disturbed? Had she worked hard, you know, to be chosen as queen? You know, she had some merit about her. Something made her stand out. Did she work very hard? Maybe she, we don't know her background or where she came from. What did it take for her to get to that place? And had she worked hard? Had she known hours of loneliness? Had she known self-denial? And had she finally got to a very comfortable place and she didn't want to be challenged anymore? It's like, I have got as high as I want to go. And really, when I am bidden and to move things, I really don't have to anymore. You know what? It's my turn. It's my turn to stay in a place where I'm comfortable and unchallenged, where I can have my friends, where I can be the center, where it is good, it is well with me here. Because that Vashti has to go in the sense of, Lord, you need to speak to me deeply about these things. And I have to be willing, Lord. I have to be willing to lay it all before you because it's at your bidding, whether I go or whether I stay. That's Esther. It's Vashti who wants to choose her own place and time of when and how she ministers. Did Vashti seem very self-righteous in her no? And here's where we are masters at it, my sisters. common in the UK, the US. This is common to our sex. Can we get very self-righteous in our no, in our disobedience? Can we get very right in our own cause? Now, this one I have heard preached, that really Vashti had every right to say no, because she was being bidden to a feast where there, you know, she was going to be oogled and googled, and she was, you know, they were all drunk, and it was just going to be, you know, such a place any woman, any lady would not want to place herself in that situation. And she was queen, and she deserved respect, and that was not her place to parade herself in front of that crowd. And so her no was entirely legitimate. But as I said, a very even light reading, and please do, Esther chapter 1, of what that feast was about, that we see that Esther was being given a legitimate command. But here is the strength of Vashti. I tell you something. When she felt she was right, when she felt, you know, I could just see the group around her. She's in this thing, and all of a sudden, her own rebelliousness and all that's unsurrendered in her heart comes up with the perfect reason why she could say no. And everybody around her, their heads are nodding. And that sounds right, because it's flesh speaking to flesh. It's rebellious speaking to rebellious spirit. And you're going to, you know, when we're in the flesh and we meet others in the flesh, there's going to be a lot of agreement. Hand will join in hand. And it's like, no, you know, I'm not going there. I have a cause. I am right. It is not for me to do that. And now there is absolutely no turning her. It doesn't matter who is turning her. You see in her heart, leadership, the word, her relationship with God, honoring and godly authority over her, they're just tolerated by her. And by this Vashti spirit, there is a deep resistance and a deep reluctance and a deep opposition in her to anything that challenges the spirit that really has now been allowed to operate, all under a very spiritual face, all under a very spiritual reasons. And the Lord is going to make us wise in these matters, that we can truly have Vashti's life as a mirror to ours and say, Lord, any part Vashti. You know, I can truly open up in the presence of the Lord, because he loves me with an unchanging love. And you can fully open your heart up to a God, Jesus, who loves you and gave himself for you. He's not out to condemn us. He's not out to push us in a wall and to point his finger in our chest and to make us feel so small. No, beloved, there are reasons why people feel like they have to guard their own back, or why a spirit of rebellion can get a hold of them, or why they say no. There are all kinds of reasons. May I say, the Lord knows them all. In fact, he was there. When the first pain, the first betrayal, the first misshaping of your life, the first entry of a spirit because of a hard hand upon you, when circumstances got so tough, it seemed like if you didn't protect yourself, there would be no protection. Trust me, my beloved sisters, the Lord knows it all. That's why we can open up before him without fear. Without fear, he said to the woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you. In fact, he put himself as a barrier between their stones and her. He is a barrier to condemnation. He is a barrier to wrong judgment. He is not there to crush us. He is there to change us and deliver us from spirits that want us to think that we are spiritual or we can be used. But we're not connected to the Holy Spirit. We're not in the source of life that it is our privilege to be. We have a deluding spirit upon us, and we want to be Esther's, but we're just kidding ourselves with that name as long as Vashti is the queen ruling in our heart. And so, It is the Lord's goodness that comes and says, oh, Esther's, 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 how glad am I that you are going to be, and I am going to be beautified by this word, that this word will be a mirror in which we will see if there is any trace of Vashti upon us because there's the washing of the word. She can be dethroned. We don't have to live with her in her devious ways and all the confusion and the agitation that she brings to the heart of a woman. We don't have to live with her. We do not have to live with her. She can be dethroned. And she was dethroned. And, you know, the Lord loves judgment. And we must remember that. The Lord loves judgment. Now, that's a good thing. Because if we're willing to say, Lord, if there's part of Vashti in me, I thank you, you don't condemn me. You love judgment, you will dethrone her. Because you rule righteously, you will dethrone her. But if I will not, God loves judgment, and we will find his hand not of mercy, but of consequence upon us because you're Esther. You see, there's a call for you to be Esther. And in his loving judgment, here's what happens. We see the king now has been challenged. A rightful, honoring, legitimate authority, the Lord Jesus Christ, this word, all has been challenged. And in verse 15, it says this, "What shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to the law?" What shall we do? And this part is where you and I get really excited. This is the part where we say, Lord, judge this queen of my heart according to your law. Judge her. Judge her that she may be dethroned. I rejoice in your judgments, O God. They are right. And I feel so secure because a law is a law and it cannot be altered. And I feel so secure in how you operate in my life. What should be done to this queen, Vashti? And then it says, the interesting thing is that there were wise men who understood the times in verse 13. Then the king said unto the wise men which knew the times. So this king has men around him of judgment. This king has men who understand the times. And when Vashti rose up, they are anointed by the Spirit of God to understand this situation. And you and I are going to be allowed the same wisdom, the same understanding of our times, the same commitment to seeing Vashti deposed wherever her head raises. And these wise men say, you know, this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, verse 17, and they shall despise. There will be a despising. And verse 18, thou shall arise too much contempt and wrath. And verse 18 tells us what is really going on. It says, verse 18, likewise shall all the ladies of Persia and Media say unto the king, da 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 da. That word ladies, if you look it up in your, when you do your studies, is 8686. In the Strong's Concordance. May I tell you what that word means? It doesn't mean ladies as we know it. That word is Sarah. It's from the derivative Sar. It means masters, leaders, noble women, people of character. The feminine is Sarah. All the ladies, all the Sarahs, all the Sarahs of the land. There is a Vashti spirit, and it's going after the Sarahs of the land. Now, in Scripture, who is Sarah? Who is Sarah? She is the mother of faith. She is a woman who is able, who was given strength to receive life when there should be no life. She was a woman who was able to call her husband Lord. In other words, she saw herself in a right position, and yet it only enhanced her position that she was called to be the mother of Isaac, the mother of laughter. She was called to be about life. That the Lord visited Sarah and she was able to bring forth life when there was no life. That she was a woman betrayed and was not brought under a betraying spirit. She was a woman who God had chosen. When Abraham was called, it was impossible to do it without Sarah. The ministry and the call of Abraham ran right through Sarah's life. And when Abraham finally admitted that she all of a sudden was realized that the plan of God for saving the world, for his life to be manifest, must go through a father and a mother. And Sarah is the mother of faith in this land. It's for every woman who is being molded by the Spirit of God, for every woman who is going to be able to stand in faith and produce life. In other words, she is a woman of faith, and she creates the conditions of life around her because she bears such life. It's life that begets life. And the spirit of Vashti is going against the Sarahs, the mothers of faith in this land. There is a spirit of Vashti that wants to shut them down. Women of wisdom, women of character, women of good understanding, women of faith, women like we talked about last night, Abigail, who could stand in front of 400 men with their swords drawn, pounding towards her, and she could stop an advancing army. By her presence, by her courage, she was honored and recognized. This is what the call is of the women of this land, that God give you a place of honoring and a place of true spiritual authority. But the Vashti spirit that can be found in a church that is not under authority of the word, not under the authority of the Holy Spirit, not recognizing God-appointed authority in the church today, no matter what you think of them, no matter what your issue is, it needs to be settled. If I'm going to be a woman of authority, I must be a woman under legitimate authority. Jesus said to the centurion, I have not found such faith. Because, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is say the word. You don't have to come to my house, Jesus. I don't have to see you with my eyes. I don't have to have you walk in and I watch how you do it. All I know is that you are the Lord, and from right where you stand at a distance far off, if you say the word, your word that travels, there is no distance between you and my situation, and you come and you touch the deaf in my household. You raise it to life. You don't have to come. You're enough. Your word is enough. And Jesus said, I know that because I'm a man under authority. And if I tell someone, go, they go. And you are a king with the greatest authority. And if your word says life, there's life. And he learned that by being a man under authority. Jesus said, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel, to a centurion, not an Israeli, not a man in the synagogue, but a soldier under authority, and could recognize who Christ was. Beloved, that is our privilege, to be like that. You don't have to fear that some authority is going to come in and encroach upon you and demean you. No. We say, oh God, I am going to walk as you call me to walk. That is where true spiritual authority lays. And so the people who truly had the Spirit of God were discerning Vashti, knew what her influence could do. And the whole point was not a king offended. The whole point was discerning a Vashti spirit going after women of faith, women of courage, women who God is calling, women who he's going to give true spiritual authority, not a mock, not just speaking words and they're bouncing off in the air. I tell you, words backed by heaven, able to release because the Spirit of God is in them. And true spiritual authority, where the hell and death have to give up and let go, because God wants to give that to women. We don't have to beg him for this. This story is in the Bible that we may understand. This is God's heart for us, to honor us, to dignify us, and to give us this, but it's done his way. His way. And so many times we have not seen the results we so dearly wanted and maybe even prayed for, but we never knew the release. We never saw the fulfillment of it. We never saw the power of it because we have been going another path to spiritual authority. We've been looking for another kind of anointing. We've been looking for another kind of thing laid upon us that will send us out. But this is the only way. This is the way to true spiritual authority, the life of Esther. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here for right now and just let what the Lord is saying to us. If in your experience you have known leadership that has failed you or disappointed you, judged you, made no room for you, that does not mean there is not a true shepherd, a true king, a true life. And we will not fall prey to the enemy, who will leave us forever cynical, passive, as Chris said, and removed from a spiritual scene that so desperately needs our voices. It is the Lord who calls. It is the Lord who will make place. It is the Lord, if we will go his way, will beautify us with his salvation and cause our voices to be a true voice of his, because we have forgiven and we have released. We have repented where we ourselves have had a spiritual lust to be whatever. And so, Lord, we as women, we make that decision that we come and we bend our knee. We come at your bidding. Vashti wouldn't go, but we come. And we bend our knee. And your grace is upon us now, Lord. For those that have wounded us or led us astray, or we gave them too much trust, too much power, Lord, we release and we forgive only in the power of your Spirit. We ask, Lord, the evidence that you have worked, that we have asked you to do this, Lord, is that our tongues and our be at rest and our hearts be at peace, that we not be found, O God, with our tongues, Lord, tearing down the bride of Christ. You love this bride, even though her dress is torn. You love this bride. And Lord, we pray for a sincere and a true love for the bride of Christ in this nation. Not a superficial saying the right thing, but a heart work. That we could truly be restored stones in the wall that you are building. Lord, we ask you to restore our trust in you. We ask you we could truly be supporters of those called in the ministry. We ask, Lord, that we would not be found as their critics. But Lord, we put our shoulder to the wheel, Lord, through our prayer, through our encouragement. That, Lord, you would make a difference. Lord, we pray you so connect us to you, the head, from whence our life flows, that if our ankle hurts or the knee hurts, it does not stop the forward moving. That we're not connected and our life support is not a knee, it's a head. That we be rightly connected to the head, then we will be rightly connected to the rest of the body. We will not be disappointed. We will not withdraw in suspicion. But Lord, you will keep working. The head will release and direct and repair the body. And we will keep moving forward. Lord, we pray a church that is not man-led, committee-led, fellowship-led. We ask you would come and lead. And then, Lord, I pray that you would take us in a grand experiment in this next few months where we learn, Lord, to join the army. Forgive us when we've let a few be so overburdened. Forgive us, Lord, where we have just been the spectators, the critic and the commentary. Lord, we want life. We believe this weekend you're visiting us with life and true spiritual vision. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're going to cause us to see a bride of good understanding. I thank you, Lord, you are calling us, Lord, to bring a grace needed. And where before it was refused or not recognized, perhaps, Lord, it was Vashti speaking sometimes. Perhaps, Lord, it was you who closed the doors because we had not yet stood in a place of understanding. But now, Lord, we're being renewed. Your word is bringing its life and it will not be taken from us. And your spirit comes in behind the word and says, you can draw on my power now. Don't make promises to me to change. I've come to change you. And I thank you, Lord. We have hope now. There will be change in this nation because we are hearing this. We're not looking to the left and the right to see if they change. We're not looking to see if our church is any better. Lord, we're hearing you, what you are saying to us, the power and the change you are offering to us. We're digging, Lord, a well of life in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Vashti is dethroned. And the true queen will arise. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.